Philippians chapter 1, beginning at 14. And many of the brethren who are waxing confident by my bonds are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, some fear of goodwill. The one preach Christ with contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds. Well, verse 14 we talked about last week, but just to review, many of the brethren in the Lord waxing confident by my bonds. What is the bonds? Where is Paul as he writing this? Yeah, John?
He's in jail.
In what jail is it? Tell me.
Roman prison.
And why would some of the brethren wax confident by him being in jail? Why do you think that would happen? Why would they wax confident because of his imprisonment, Tammy?
Well, the Apostle Paul said in different places that he was preaching the gospel so much while he was in chains that all of Caesar's house knew about who he was and mm-hmm. who the Lord was. And when they had all trusted him, I mean, obviously, probably not all of them, but there probably were a good number of them.
Mm-hmm. So they heard the conviction and the stories and the evidence of what he was doing in prison, so they were confident he was faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ, even though he was bound in a Roman prison. And so that's important. And waxing confident by his bonds, manifest indeed. And then much more bold to speak the word without fear. Why would they be more bold to speak the word without fear? Because Paul was in prison. What would activate them to speak without fear, do you think? Would it cause them to be put in prison, do you think? Yeah, Tammy.
Well, they saw Paul's courage, and so mm-hmm. they had courage.
All right. He was a good example, wasn't he? Even in prison, he didn't stop preaching. He didn't stop being a Christian. He was faithful to his Savior. Then in verse 15, some indeed preach Christ in two ways. What's the first way? What's the second way? And what do the both of them mean, John?
Envy and strife.
Why would they speak of envy? Preach Christ of envy. What would they be envious about, I wonder? Any thoughts on that? Who would they be envious of? Maybe the Apostle Paul, because he was doing great even in prison. What about strife? What is strife? How would you define that as a word? Tammy?
Conflict.
Conflict and argumentation, different things. Fighting. They didn't have Paul to guide them necessarily. He was in prison. He was a long ways away from Philippi. But they preached the strife. But on the other hand, there was others that preached how? In contrast to strife and envy.
Yet, some with goodwill.
Goodwill. In other words, they were in good spirits, they were led of the Lord, and they had fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, all these things, and they preached without any fear and also with goodwill. It's very good to have goodwill toward the friends that you have and goodwill even toward the enemies. That might win them to Christ. And then verse 16, one in verse 14, preach Christ how? And what does that mean? And how not?
Are we in verse 14?
Yeah, it should be 16, but he said
14. Oh, did I
say
it was?
Yeah.
Well, they were in 16, isn't it? Well,
yes.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Goodwill. Yes, but verse 16, we're to preach Christ of contention. What would contention mean, and how would you tell me?
Well, it kind of goes back to the previous verse, verse 15, mm-hmm. where they're preaching Christ out of strife, so they're mm-hmm. in a competition maybe with the Apostle Paul.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like that's what they're.
Are there things to be contending about in the Christian faith? are the things to be contending about.
Sure.
And earnestly contending for the faith. We've got to be sure that what we're preaching is correct. And so on. I talked to a man today on the phone. He was a former Roman Catholic. He came to Christ, and he hasn't been founded strongly, but he wants some materials, and so we're going to send him to you. I said, write me a letter and let me know what you need help with. He talked about Bob Thiem, and he didn't really know that there was plenty of errors there. He talked about John MacArthur. He talked about Gail Ripinger and various things that he needs to be taught on. And I'm glad that he's willing to be taught and to learn some of these things that he had never got in the Roman Catholic Church. And he's trying to learn and do better. He's got two defining things in his Bibles. He wants to order another one, and he wants me to sign that particular one. But we have to preach Christ faithfully, sincerely, honestly, and as he says, we're in verse 16, right?
16.
But this one, some in contention, but not these people, not sincerely. Where would sincerity pass away in some people's preaching, do you think? How to get preached not with sincerity. What might they not be sincere about? Yes, Tammy?
Well, you might not preach the whole counsel of God because you want everyone to come, and you don't want to offend anyone, so you don't tell them what the Word of God says.
Yeah. Yes, and so, yes, John.
Yes, along with what Tammy was saying, she is referring more specifically to church growth movements, looking at the numbers of the attendance, not wanting to offend anybody. But also in the health and wealth gospel, how they twist it to get the money. They're not sincere.
So, Christ of contention, not sincerely. Supposing I add affliction to my bonds, how could the preaching afflict Paul and have more affliction in his bonds, you think? Tammy?
Well, it seems like it all goes back to the fact that they have envy and strife in their hearts. So they're it's like they want to compete with the Apostle Paul. And so because they are, their heart isn't pure before the Lord, they're not preaching the gospel because they want people to know and to be saved. They want to look bad before men.
And when Paul hears of the church and what they're doing, I'm sure that he would be upset if they weren't doing the right thing, like if goodwill is mentioned in verse 15, to add affliction to my bonds. If Paul hears that his church back at Philippi is doing wrong, certainly that would be affliction. He would be very upset about that. Anna?
Is this necessarily referring specifically to Philippi? It seems like it could be brethren. It's brethren in the Lord. It seems like it'd be all over the place, not necessarily Philippi.
That's true. It says the brethren in the Lord, verse 14, so it'd be all different places. But he's writing, yes, Dan.
Well, their motivation seems to be to add affliction to him because he's already in chains and he's in prison, and so they want to make it worse for him. It doesn't seem like they succeeded based on what the verses following say. Because he rejoices that the gospel is preached no matter what. It doesn't seem like he's upset about it.
And then verse number 17, but the other, what does he refer to the other? What other is he referring to here? Anna?
Oh, it's like they're not by preaching Christ of contention and not sincerely. It's like their primary goal, it seems, might have deviated from preaching the gospel to trying to.
And the word other.
Yes.
What do you think the other refers to?
Yeah, John. Those of goodwill.
Those of goodwill, okay.
It's the other people.
The other people that he's talked about in the earlier verses there.
Yeah, in verse 13.
And they preach of love. And loving for Christ, loving for the gospel. What do they know about Paul and his position in this verse number 17? What does this church know about Paul and his convictions?
Actually, we didn't read 17 yet.
Oh, we haven't read 17.
We read 14, 15, 16.
Oh, okay. Well, 16, verse, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds. It's strange that people would preach Christ in a mean manner or a different manner, or not in a lovely manner, but a contention, not sincerely. What would a preacher be like if he did not preach sincerely the Word of God? What would be some of the marks of an insincere preacher? Tammy?
The works of the flesh.
Works of the flesh?
And all the sins of the flesh that are talked about in Galatians.
Sins of the flesh, John.
Evil shepherds leading the flock astray.
Yes, leading the flock astray and
not giving them. Not much tonight. I think it's Jeremiah and Ezekiel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Not giving them courage to stand for the Lord. And so we didn't read 17 yet?
No.
Let's read 17, 18, and 19. But the other of love, knowing that I have sent for the defense of the gospel, what then, notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or truth, Christ is preached, and I therein rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your courage. And supply the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Very important questions. Those listening at other places, give us a call, 856-261-9018, or questions at bftbc.org. I'd like to hear from you. If you have a question, just say hello. I'd like to hear from you. We're listening to us on the Internet. So, in verse number 17. Yeah, okay.
We started it.
We started with 17. We always started with the other of love. Now then, what is Paul set for? What is Paul set for, Annie?
The defense of the gospel.
Now, some people who are set means they don't want to move in any way. But there's things that we ought to be set for. I talked to this gentleman that called, who was former Catholic, and one of the things we discussed was, how did the Bible come to us, and what is God breathed and what isn't? I said there's many questions. We talked about Gail Ripperton, for example. He had a lot of material somewhere originally. I said, well, I left her when I asked her about her marriage, or marriages, plural. My wife and I were friends for many years. She spoke one time at the Dean Bergen Society. But when she said she only had one husband, and I had already checked the state where she was living, or formerly, and I found from them there were three husbands. And I told the man, I said, when I found that she lied to me about her husband, we broke fellowship completely. But also she's a terrible person about inspiration, and says that the Bible, the King James Bible, is given by God breathing instead of excellent translation. She's off on that too. And I told him we had a number of books on different things that you may be interested in, but these are very serious matters. She has changed many things of what she used to believe, as well as keeping the things that she is wrong in. Paul said he's set. What does it mean to be set for the gospel? What would be involved with that? Are some not set? Yeah, 10.
It's firm.
All right.
Stable.
He's determined, and the doctrines that are true and scriptural, he's established in, he's not going to change. We should not change either. The doctrines of the faith is there. Set the gospel. What is the gospel? And do some distort the gospel? How do they? He's defending it. What does he do to defend the gospel? How would you defend the gospel? Hands on that. Pastor Dan?
The gospel is a simple salvation that God has provided for mankind in providing the death of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who became man, sinless man, impeccable man, lived a sinless life, He died, offered up a vicarious atonement upon the cross of Calvary, and rose again the third day. Now is forever in heaven making intercession for the saints, those that have put their trust in Him, those that acknowledge the fact that they are a sinner and their righteousness cannot obtain any merit with God whatsoever. It's only the righteousness of God, or rather Christ, that could satisfy a holy God.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Tammy.
In verse 7, we talked about how he was in bonds, and he was in the defense of, and a confirmation both. Mm-hmm. So he was both defending and confirming mm-hmm. the gospel.
There's some things that we talked with this gentleman who was Roman Catholic formerly. And as far as John MacArthur, I said we have a book, The Heresies of John MacArthur. You might want to take that. But I told him that John MacArthur denies that the Lord Jesus Christ shed his blood, and the shedding of his blood is a basis of forgiveness and so on. He simply says death is the same as blood. That's John MacArthur. So defending the gospel, you have to defend the fact that it's not simply that he died. All of us die, but when we shed our blood, that's not the atonement for the sins of the world, as Christ's blood was. So he said for the defense of the gospel, we should be the same. Well, one of the things that some people deny is that only those that are generally trusted Christ are saved. They have universalism. That's not the gospel. But Pastor Nancy had something there.
This is from Maine. A pastor sending warm greetings to you and to all our BFT church family. Thank you very much for this evening's Bible study. How grateful we are to the Lord for each and every one of you. God bless you and his love. Carl and Vicki.
Carl and Vicki, I wave to Carl and Vicki over from Maine.
Hello.
Long ways over. All right, so that was verse 17, defense of the gospel. We should be in defense of the gospel. Are there false gospels around in our nation and around the world?
Yes.
If so, what are some of the false gospels that need to have the right gospel defended against?
I was just going to say, Dr. John MacArthur, mm-hmm. he also believes in lordship salvation.
Yes, that's what
it is. You have to make Christ Lord of your life before you can be saved.
Yes, that's right. That's one of his doctrines.
Possible?
He's got about 5 major heresies, and that's one, as well as the other thing, salvation by the death rather than the blood of Christ. Any other things about these other gospels? They call themselves a gospel, but it's false. What about the people? The question that man asked me again today was, do you believe that you can lose your salvation once it's genuinely found?
No.
No, you can't do that. Some teach that. And so all these things are false. Unitarianism, universalism certainly is a false gospel. Everybody says so. Forget about it. Yeah, Bill, and then Tammy.
Yeah, some other false gospels are in the Apocrypha.
Yes.
In him being a Catholic, he's probably somewhat familiar with those.
Mm-hmm. Much false there, Tammy.
They were saved by works.
Saved by works.
Good works or sacraments or
yes.
Anything that we do for the Lord saves us. Mm-hmm. Doesn't save us at all.
No, it doesn't. Or pay giving tithes as an offering when you save you. See, all these different things. So we're in 18, are we?
Yes.
He says, notwithstanding. Everywhere, every way, whether in pretense or truth. Now, what would be preaching Christ in pretense? Tammy?
It would probably be defined as those from verse 15 that were preaching Christ of envy and strife.
Mm-hmm.
So they weren't really genuinely interested in sharing the gospel with people. They just mm-hmm. wanted to promote themselves.
Yes, questions at bftbc.org or 856-261-9018. Give us a comment or question, any of these things about we're talking about. You think of people that are in big, big churches, and they get sometimes hundreds and hundreds and sometimes even thousands. Do they preach the genuine, full, straight doctrine, gospel? They, if they do, they couldn't stay. Those people would leave. They can't stand this stuff. Pastor Dan's got something?
Yeah, the two people walking, you and this evening, one from this is from, these from Elroy. So we got Maine and Elroy.
All right.
Happy hello from Wendy B in Wisconsin.
Barbarian.
She's living in Elroy. I'm sorry, Wendy. She's in Wisconsin, though.
Wisconsin.
Yeah. Wendy, Wisconsin, and the main family. Hello from Wendy B in Wisconsin. Thank you for this evening's Bible study. You are a blessing. Wishing Wendy Kosick a happy birthday. Well, happy birthday, Wendy Kosick.
Yes.
Wendy B, Wisconsin.
We wish a happy birthday to you, our Christian friend, and may our Heavenly Father, His kindest blessings, send a happy, happy birthday, all beautiful with love, and bright with many blessings from God, our friend above.
Amen.
You want to say your part?
What do I say? May prayers on the day of thy birth, may gladness and sunshine be given, and may our dear Father prepare thee in heaven, prepare thee on earth for a wonderful birthday in heaven. All right. Thank you. It's been a while since I forgot that. All right. So the gospel sometimes makes many people angry. If you preach it straight, there it is. That's a 1 hour. But we'll take a little time for questions or comments if you have any further things to say. Try and get this. Yeah, Hannah.
Is it correct, am I interpreting the context correctly, that even those that were preaching Christ out of the envy and strife were genuine believers? Because it says many of the brethren in the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
So, is that...
That possibly so. Can even those that are saved preach false things?
Yes.
Oh, yes. They could preach and believe false things. And any other comments or questions before?
What does that in the words say, many in the Lord?
Many of the brethren in the Lord, verse 14.
Brethren in the Lord.
It says, some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. So I was thinking that both the sums were described as being brethren in the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what you say?
So we have got to preach the gospel, biblical gospel, even those that people don't want to hear it, make it straight. It starts with not only our sinners, men and women, boys and girls, lost, bound for hell, and the Lord Jesus died for all of us, not simply for the elect or something. It's a very important thing that we're not only have the correct gospel, but are not ashamed to preach it and talk about it faithfully. Any other comments or questions before we close? All right, John, would you close in a word of prayer, please, for us?
Yes. Great. Tell me.